Hey, everybody, Rob here, getting you ready for our special pre-Thanksgiving edition of Survivor Know-It-Alls. I know a lot of people are getting ready to start doing some holiday shopping once we get through Thanksgiving, and I want to just let you know I've set up a page with all of our holiday shopping offers from our sponsors and our links for Amazon and Amazon CA. They're all in one convenient place, robhasawebsite.com/gifts. You can go there, get our links for our shirts, Amazon, Omaha Steaks, Canvas People, and more, all at robhasawebsite.com/gifts.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls Thanksgiving Eve. Let's talk turkey, woo! Stephen Fishback.
Wow. And what a turkey full episode this was. Yeah. Bountiful episode. So many big strategic things to talk about. I can't wait to talk about it with you.
Okay, so a lot going on. Let me just set this all up here quick at the top of the show. Of course, it's the night before Thanksgiving. Stephen Fishback is on the road visiting family. Stephen, how's that so far?
Great. No, you know, neither rain nor travel nor Thanksgiving can stop the Know-It-Alls.
That's right. And so Stephen Fishback is on the road. We appreciate him keeping us in his plans tonight. And then he has
stick to the plans.
Yeah. Another engagement coming up here. So we've got 40 minutes of Fishback here. And so we have a lot to get to quickly. I got a few news items here at the top of the show. Of course, this is a very big night. Of course, we are just 2 weeks away from being together again in Austin, Texas. Very excited about that. December 6th in Austin, Texas. And Stephen, I have a few more names to tell you about that are going to be with us in Austin. This Austin show is shaping up to perhaps the most guests that we've had, at least, sometimes in New York, we had a couple people that we didn't even bring them on the stage, but this is turning into a free for all.
Because we didn't want them on the show.
Yeah. This is going to be pretty incredible. They call this a Texas Roundup, Stephen.
Oh, well, so I've heard that the Joe Dowdle may be there.
Well, I don't know. That's the one that I don't think anybody's talked to Joe Dowdle. I think that's the one that's.
I gotta
get your people on that. But I can tell you. So we told you last week about Kim Spradlin was going to be there. And then also Brett LaBelle is coming. He's flying in. And then, of course, Reynolds is coming. Reynolds always likes to travel with amigos, Stephen.
Whoa, Eddie?
Reynolds Topher. No, not Eddie, but some of his Texas amigos. And he apparently is friends with Burton Roberts.
No, Burton. I love Burton. Burton was one of the first survivors I ever met. I love Burton.
He's a great guy. Yeah. I mean, I know him from way back.
I was rooting for him.
And then, Stephen, I know you're already sitting down, but hold on. Hold the phone. I talked to Angie Kontz earlier tonight, who's been talking to Reynolds. Yeah. And it says Colby Donaldson is coming.
No, really?
I'm telling you what I'm being told, Stephen.
The host of Top Shot?
Yes. The Culpster going to be there. And then, of course, one of your all-time favorites is also going to join us.
JT!
Muffin.
No, Muffin!
Missy, she's just going to show up. Plus, Brett LaBelle is bringing a surprise guest, and then we might not be done.
A surprise guest? Is it Joe Dowdle?
Okay. robhasawebsite.com/AustinKIA for the ticket information. Also, check out that VIP package that you get to go to the dinner before the show with Stephen and I, all the survivors that we can get there. Plus, also, we've added two drink tickets to that package as well, premium seating. You get a t-shirt. Those are the VIP tickets as well. That's for robhasawebsite.com/AustinKIA in just 2 weeks from tonight. And then also, Stephen, Black Friday is around the corner. Of course, we always appreciate you guys thinking of us when you have all these Black Friday deals at your fingertips. Of course, that we have the link to Amazon up on robbezawebsite.com. That's our new influencer account, that banner there. And then, of course, we have a new page that I just set up, robbezawebsite.com/gifts. That has the Amazon link, links to Canvas People, Omaha Steaks, all of the different holiday offers that our sponsors have. And then also we have the Rob is a Podcast t-shirts are back now for 1 week only. robbizawebsite.com/shirts. So we got to get all that out of the way. Tyson coming up on the podcast, and then also Sophie Clark this weekend. So a lot of great stuff coming up. Hashtag RHAP for your questions. Steven, what went on at that tribal council tonight? What I don't understand what happened tonight.
To me, the tribal council was like the least interesting part of the episode because I thought it was fairly straightforward. Like, the alliance went in wanting to vote Cole off, understandably, because he was the biggest threat.
Got it.
In terms, certainly, you know, in terms of the challenges, as he himself said, he'd only lost one. He narrowly lost that. He narrowly lost today's immunity competition. Completely makes sense to vote Cole off. The alliance went in. Maybe they were thinking Joe, maybe Cole. They ended up going Cole. And I guess Mike tried to do like a play where he was like hoping to bring a lot of votes on himself, kind of went nowhere. And at the end, it was a kind of, to me, it seemed like a straightforward vote. I actually thought the show did and has done an amazing job of making these somewhat straightforward votes kind of seem like, you know, up in the air. Like, I didn't know who was going home.
I didn't know. Yeah. Who was going to go home out of the three? I kind of thought that Dr. Mike was going to go home.
I thought it was going to blow up in Dr. Mike's face too.
Yeah. I kind of thought so. And, you know, it's always bad when it blows up in Dr. Mike's face. That's never a good thing. But Steven, I was so confused by Dr. Mike's play here tonight because I really felt, talked about for weeks, I feel like that he's in a great position. And I felt like that he identified, okay, the move here is to vote out your allies, turn on all your allies, because when it gets down to the seven plus Dr. Mike, I guarantee you Dr. Mike won't go home in eighth place. If that when we get down to that situation,
I think that at that point in time, the people in the seven are not even thinking about Dr. Mike. They're thinking like, how do I position myself better for when we are down to seven? And as a result, everyone is thinking, I'm going to make my move at eight instead of at seven. And as a result, nobody votes out Dr. Mike. Now, it did seem like there was a potential danger for him next cycle, right? If like they vote out Cole this week, maybe someone thinks, I'm going to keep Joe around because of his a-hole strategy. You know, he's such an a-hole that I want to keep Joe around. But that's when it would be perfect for Dr. Mike to play the idol. Had Dr. Mike just held on to his idol and played it next week, I feel like he could have been in an amazing position.
He was in a fantastic position. And as Lauren said tonight, do you want that shovel to dig your own grave? I don't know what he did. It was like Joe said, hey, I've got this strategy. I'm going to be the biggest a-hole here. So people want to keep me around, and Dr. Mike was like, hold my beer.
What's interesting is that, you know, we have seen in the past people kind of be big a-holes to draw votes onto themselves. However, they do it at camp when there's enough time to draw attention to yourself and kind of get the votes on you. Dr. Mike's whole like, I'm gonna make a big scene at tribal council thing didn't really make sense because that's not when people decide who they're voting for. So Dr. Mike makes a big scene, or it was too funny too when like Dr. Mike like called his shot to Joe, like, follow my lead. Like, what was his lead?
I don't know. I wasn't even following his analogy of those guys, they're like Britain. I'm like the Statue of Liberty. I'm the Statue of Liberty. What? I'm so confused. Is it like the Statue of Liberty in Ghostbusters 2 when it came to life and then fought the bad guys? Was that the Statue of Liberty?
That was a great moment. That was the best moment in that film. So who's Vigo?
The Statue of Liberty play. I think Ben is Vigo in this scenario.
No one wants to be Vigo.
Nobody wants to be Vigo.
Send him back into the painting. Who's the kind of like sniveling guy who's like, Vigo? Who's that guy?
I don't know. We need Josh Wiggler here to tell you what that Janosch. I think Janosch is that guy.
Yeah, who's Janosch?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is Lauren Janosch? I mean, Brian has to be Janosch, right?
He's probably either that or Vigo's baby, I think.
But what's interesting is like what a contrast Mike's move at Tribal Council is with Joe's play throughout the day. Like, I was really excited by Joe's strategy because I don't think we've ever seen that before. And you and I were texting a little bit about this. Like, has anybody ever self-consciously said, I am going to be an a-hole, not to get votes onto myself, but to make myself into a goat so nobody votes for me? I mean, it's happened that people have been such big jerks that no one has voted for them, but I don't think we've ever seen it consciously and deliberately.
I'm not sure why it's working. I mean, we saw tonight that Ashley and Chrissy said, no, Joe has to go. We hate Joe. Joe has to go. Yet somehow he stayed. And we don't know. We didn't see in the episode. Did Ben ultimately put his foot down and said, like, no, this is the plan. Everybody get in line. I don't want to hear any dissension. Or did Chrissy and Ashley ultimately retreat and said, okay, look, we can get him anyway. I guess Ben is right. We didn't see how that ultimately got settled. I don't understand. And what I would love to have seen is if Ben then, if like Ben was sort of like at this next level, where then we see him and Joe like, okay, look, you know, I got you, you know, like Boston Rob to Philip is like, okay, you are in my final three, you know, trust the process here. But like in a way where it's like that, then Joe can't go expose every like, hey, everybody, guess what? Your boy Ben is working with me now. So yeah. It would be nice if we saw something, or Ben saying like, hey, I want, you know, this is my guy that I want in the final three.
Oh, he did say that. Ben said, I want to keep Joe around because everyone's really annoyed by him. Mm-hmm. He actually said that. And so I think that, you know, what's amazing about Joe's move here is that Ben, in his effort to keep Joe, ends up drawing all of this negative attention on himself. And I would not be surprised. In fact, I predict that Ben goes home before Joe does.
Interesting. I don't know. I think I'll take it. Knowing is know-it-all.
Willing to make that wager, because like Joe is such a big target right now. But I would not be surprised at all if Ben goes home next week and Joe sticks around.
Yeah. I want to go back to Dr. Mike, because I really feel like that in addition to I'm not sure I agree with his reasoning, but I really dislike this idea of playing the idol at this point in time. First off, I mean, this was final 10. You know, we always say, you know, these swings, you want to, you know, they're going to happen like on the odd numbers. I don't know why he felt compelled to play the idol here at 10. It seemed like what were they going to do? There's still only three. Even if he kept Cole in the game for another round, did he feel like that then, okay, if we shift and they voted for Cole, that was the other crazy part of all this. It's like, I thought this whole idea was that they felt like, okay, well, let's protect our three, and then all we need to do is pull over maybe one person from the seven, and if they're splitting votes, then we've potentially got a shot here, you know, at 9-3-3-3. That could be a thing, but I don't know why play the idol and then put your votes on Cole.
Yeah, it really did not make sense. And it also, like, am I wrong that there were only two votes for Ben? I didn't see where the votes came from.
I think there was one vote for Ben. Cole voted for Ben? I think that was it. Yeah, Ben, Mike, and then the rest were for Cole.
Wait, so then Mike put his vote on Cole?
Mike and Joe voted for Cole. Chat room, correct me if I'm wrong.
Wow, I missed that. That's pretty phenomenal. That's like very so. If that's the case, yeah, I don't understand that at all.
I don't know unless like Mike feels like, hey, if then put this idol back into circulation, Joe will find it. And then
he could have just handed it to Joe.
I don't know why, what Mike was doing there to vote for Cole, make everybody mad at him, you know, be a meat shield for Joe at this point. Yeah, the chat room is saying that, yeah, that is correct. Dr. Mike did vote for Cole. So I'm so confused about what
that blows my mind even more.
So I understand the seven. I understand what the larger alliance was doing.
But like, then what's my, because I thought you and I both, I guess, thought Mike was doing this Hail Mary thing where he was going to try to get all the votes on himself. And in that situation, but even in that situation, Cole would be the one going home. Like it doesn't make any sense, because even if Dr. Mike got all his votes on himself and with him and Joe voting for Cole is still going home. Well, that's really, we're going to have to find out. I mean, I guess Dr. Mike is not winning this thing, so we're going to have to find out when he gives an exit.
Yeah, interview. We'll see. I mean, like, maybe there is some sort of like master plan that will be, you know, disseminated to us either, you know, in future episodes or, you know, in secret scenes or whatever. But maybe Mike was just so afraid that they were splitting the votes on him and felt like, okay, me and Joe, we'll put our votes on Cole. They're either going to split it between Cole and me or Cole and you. Let's both put our votes on Cole and ensure he goes home. And he might have been even super double paranoid. Oh, no, I think it's going to be me tonight.
Well, and maybe he thought, well, I mean, he correctly intuited, right, that like that they were that Joe was not getting any votes. So maybe he was trying to protect Joe. Just hold on. Maybe he's trying to protect. This is like a really generous interpretation. Maybe he's trying to protect Joe because he knows that Joe will be a bigger target next week than he will be. And there's less of a chance of Joe winning immunity than Cole winning immunity. So by him making sure Joe doesn't go home, he theoretically buys himself another 3 days. But he could have done the exact same thing by not playing his idol.
I don't know.
Very confusing.
Joe did not play an idol and Desi went home. Joe did not play an idol and Cole went home. You know, they're coming up with reasons not to vote for Joe and to vote for another healer. I feel like that the Mike is in a more precarious position going into next week than I ever would have thought he would be.
Yeah, because next week would have been the perfect time for Mike to play his idol.
Right. When you
or to save it, actually, or even to use it next week as leverage to say to someone, what happens, you know, to say to one of the smaller groups in the seven, like, hey, let's do something right now. Let's get a jump on those guys.
Okay. So we have a lot of other stuff to get to from the episode tonight. So let's keep bouncing around. I thought this was a bad night for Ryan, Steven, that we saw him. Of course, he got the immunity out of last week, but he tells Ben about this information. And then Ben actually goes and tells Devin about this information. I thought that was a very savvy play on Ben's part to share a secret with Devin, but not necessarily spill all of his secrets. He doesn't tell Devin about Lauren's advantage,
right,
but tells Devin about a secret from a guy who probably shouldn't have told him a secret.
Yeah, that is, I mean, you know, there's two people to talk about there, right? Well, there's three people to talk about in that interaction, right? Like A, Ryan, who has revealed his information to his best bro, Devin. They agree not to share it with anybody. And then Ryan tells it to Ben. I mean, that seems very careless, especially because I think Ryan wisely said, you know, telling the truth is incredibly important. And proving that I'm truthful is incredibly important. So then when Devin leaves that conversation thinking that it's just the two of them who know about this idol, and I guess maybe Chrissy as well at that point, but then when he finds out that Ben knows about it too, you know, it could have been completely innocent on Ryan's part, and probably was completely innocent on Ryan's part, but any small breach of trust is very hard to come back from. Then there's Ben, and I agree. I mean, Ben had kind of a bad night, right, overall, where it sure looked like his alliance was really rebelling against some of his dictatorial impulses. Whether or not those were actually dictatorial, we can talk about. But yeah, good move from Ben to share this information to gain trust with Devin. And I actually thought Devin came out best of all because everyone is telling him things and he is just sitting there. I think Devin does such an amazing job of prompting the people around him to share information, where he plays up this surfer bro persona.
Wow. And for a while I was like, no, this could be fan fiction. So how do you know he plays it up?
I'm this is what my blog is about this week. It's unpacking the Devin surfer bro persona, because I think there is enough to show that this is a really deliberate, I mean, obviously that is who sort of he is, right? He is that Keanu type, but he also plays up his Keanu-ness. Like for example, when Ben says to Devin, this thing about Ryan, Ben's like, whoa, really? Idol? You know, like, he knows about the idol. He now knows that Ryan has betrayed him. He's also thinking, like, what does that betrayal mean, as he says in the confessional? And he masks all of that thought with, like, whoa, you know, and I think that's really, really smart.
So you think at the Survivor reunion show, Jeff Probst like, all right, Devin, what a character, great guy. And he's like, actually, Jeff, I was playing up this character. I actually, I'm nothing love it. I don't even surf. It was amazing. I take the Meisner acting classes and I've, you know, created this character, Surfer Bro. I thought if I went on Survivor, it would be the winning combination.
Yeah, it's like the first episode of High Times, right? Where they're yeah. like, no, I think this is what's great about him, right? Is that that is who he is, but he also plays up that persona in order to influence the people around him. And it really reminds me of the way Cochran plays the game, where Cochran is a nerdy, awkward guy, but he plays into that to make people around him, like Philip, feel powerful, feel dominant, feel in charge, and as a result, bring them him like more into their confidence. And whether or not Devin is being calculating about it, or whether it's just who he is, I think Devin uses that surfer bro sort of persona in order to build bonds with people and mask all of the thought that's going on in his head.
Yeah. I'm joking around. You've obviously, spent some time thinking about this. I think it's a very reasonable theory. I was just going to say that, that he is when he's like, whoa, it's just that there's so much awkward silence that people are just filling the void and spilling secrets.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it, though, right? Like in that conversation with him and Ryan is like, guess what? And Dev's like, what? And Ryan says something like, we're going to be okay. Do you want to know why? And Devin doesn't speculate. He doesn't put something out there. He doesn't offer up his own information. He does not well, we've got this great deal with Chrissy going on. He's like, why? He always lets, he prompts the people around him to offer up their own information.
To be monosyllabic.
Well, but whether or not it's evil manipulative or just that's just who he is. What's the difference on Survivor, right? What's the difference between being self-aware and strategic or just that being who you are? I mean, most people win the game because that's just who they are. They're nice people. They're thoughtful people. They treat people around them with respect. They ask questions rather than acting bossy. I mean, so much of your strategy on Survivor is your character and your personality. So it's splitting hairs to say that's what Devin is doing in a devious way versus that's just who Devin is.
Okay. We'll see how it all plays out. Something else we learned tonight, that Ryan must find the phrase "in my pants" to be the most, either he thinks it's hilarious and he's trolling everybody, or he just cannot complete a sentence without ending it with "in my pants."
Do you want to know what's really good news?
I have something in my pants. Guess what is in my pants? I mean, he must say "in my pants" 10 times in this episode tonight.
Yeah. Well, so what did you think of, I mean, obviously the result for Ryan was not great, but what did you think of his attempt to use sharing this idol with Devin and then with Ben?
Well, it's Fishback 101. You got the idol, use it to build alliances, build trust. Unfortunately for him, I think that he probably showed it to somebody. He pushed it too far. I don't think that he was at a level where he was ready to share the idol with Ben. And these people that go and stay at the reward challenge, people are like, okay, well, I gotta make the most of this opportunity where I'm with these people. I think that he ended up being too aggressive here.
Yeah. Yeah. It seemed like there was too much going on. A lot of people, it seemed like this episode, it seemed like they're kind of trying to position themselves. I mean, I guess that's what we're all doing, that, all the players are doing at all times, but Ryan really seemed to be aggressively thinking, how do I use this idol? And I thought, one thing he said to Devin, which I thought was interesting, was I'm trying to make him dependent on me. Right. Or,
I'm not sure.
Smart.
I'm not sure about that quote, but I'm interested to know, where did you give the fishy tonight?
I gave it to Devin.
Okay.
Yeah. I know that a lot of people are going to have your perspective, that I'm reading way too much into a few small interactions, but I'd love to have the conversation. Read the blog. I try to make my case of how this is all sort of his strategy, and I'm curious to hear people's responses.
You know what? I don't know if I buy it, but I love the hot take that I feel like it is well-reasoned, and I think it's definitely food for thought for the Survivor community in terms of what he is potentially pulling off. And I think it's something, that we might be able to get some clues in terms of exit interviews where it's like, I don't know what Fishback is talking about. This is some sort of super genius. Right.
Yeah, but in my mind, it almost doesn't matter. Again, like I said, is it super genius? Is he the Meisner technique actor, or is this just who he is? It almost doesn't matter.
Yeah. Okay. Stephen, what about Chrissy in terms of where she was in all of this, that she wanted to go after Joe at this tribal council? She got outvoted. Did you like the move for her to retreat, or do you think that she should have put together the coalition to try and get out Joe?
No, it seems like the move there is to retreat, right? Like, the thing that people are frustrated about with Ben was that he's really pushing his agenda forward over people's objections. By the way, one of my favorite moments in TV was when I've got it written down. When Chrissy says, God, I've got it written down here because I loved it so much. Chrissy says, people are starting to feel a tiny bit steamrolled by you. And Ben says, no. No, they're not.
Just you and Ashley. Just you and Ashley. That's it. Aren't we people? And you know, I will have to say, because it's been such a part of the Survivor conversation about how Chrissy cannot work with women. She doesn't want women to be any part of her plan.
People are saying?
Yeah. Where are you during the week? What do you do? You show up here for an hour and then you tune out Survivor the other 6 days of the week?
No, I'm just thinking deep thoughts. Just trying to get in the heads of the players, analyze the characters. I can't listen to the noise. I gotta
All of the exit interviews, the last four exit interviews in a row, those four contestants who went out, all women who were voted out by Chrissy, felt like that Chrissy didn't want to work with any women. Yet she seems to be working fine with Ashley. They seem very much to be on the same page tonight.
Yeah, yeah. The exit interviews are very misleading. You know, people lie.
Yeah. Okay. I want to get into the questions. For those of you guys listening to the podcast, I'm going to talk about Canvas people. Hey, podcast listeners, isn't it so much better now that we lost Steven? Now we'll get right back to the know-it-alls here in a second. I want to tell you about canvaspeople.com and a great offer that they have for our RHAP listeners this holiday season. You can get an 11x14 canvas photo for special $0 pricing. Normally it's $69.99 plus shipping. You just have to pay the shipping. It's less than $20 for you to get a beautiful canvas photo. It makes a perfect gift this time of year. Grandparents, relatives, even for yourselves, hanging up in your house. Nicole and I have a great one of Dominic and Anthony. It's the perfect way to keep those great memories that you have on your phone that you're not doing anything with. Maybe you put them on Instagram if the photo was lucky. Put it up on your wall. It looks great. Canvaspeople.com. Over a million satisfied customers have already used the service. It's very easy to use. Just upload your photo and then crop it however you want. And then you've got your canvas photo ready to go. So to get the special offer, go to canvaspeople.com, upload your photo, select the 11x14 size, enter promo code RHAP in the promo code box to get that special $0 pricing. That's at canvaspeople.com. Promo code RHAP. Back to the know-it-alls. So let's dig into
one thing we should talk about really quick is Cole the right vote here for that alliance versus Joe? Like, which is the right vote for the alliance?
I mean, I've said that I think that Joe is the person who has the more capacity to change the outcome of the game than Cole. What is Cole ever doing? He's going to win immunity. Okay, big deal. But he's never going to, you know, get a strategy together.
The only thing that Cole, I agree with you, and obviously Cole's not going to win out. The only dangerous thing is Cole around at the final eight really screws over people's plans, right? If you in your head have, like, I know who my four is at the final seven, then what if Cole wins immunity at the final eight? It can really mess up your long-term game plan.
Okay, let's dive into some questions here. This is from Megan Young. Feels like a good night to give the ocean a fishy or something. Was there any good gameplay tonight? Yes, Devin.
Devin and Lauren Rimmer, always on point. She had her comment about how useful she thinks it is that she and Ben both know this information about the advantage that she has and how that brings them together. Also, somehow nobody realized that there were only 12 votes last night. Now, or last 11. Episode.
There were 10, 11. And there should have been 11.
Right, that there were only 10 votes and there should have been 11. Somehow that did not come up in any way. It's unbelievable, Rob.
Yeah, Jeff Probst talked about it with Dalton Ross last week, that they were hoping somebody would call it out. Nobody seemed, if anybody thought about it, they didn't make a big fuss about it.
I mean, I do think when you're at tribal council, you're so paranoid. You're so fixated on like, where are these votes going? Oh my God, is my name coming up next? Like, who could have written that down? What is the, you know, you're so in the moment that you're not really counting the votes. But afterwards, I mean, there were an even number of votes, you know, like that's the, like there were an even number of votes for, and you knew that because they were tied.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, there was no mystery there.
Well, we know that Lauren and Ben knew about it. So take them out of the mix in terms of, you know, being people that would bring it up because it benefited them. But I think that this is a bad job on Joe and Mike and Cole.
Chrissy.
No, well, I mean, but they're in the majority. They're in the seven. They have a good thing. Why do they want to rock the boat and start, you know, getting everybody really paranoid about, hey, who did this? Obviously, it wasn't the minority. The right. person that that they wanted to get out still went home. But if you're Dr. Mike or Joe, that would be a great lever to try to push. Like,
paranoia.
Hey,
yeah.
I got a question. How come there was only 10 votes last night? It seems like one of you guys was up to something. Did somebody play an advantage? What's going on here? Why did they only have 10 votes? Seems weird, doesn't it? Like, it feels like that would have been, if you want to stir the pot, that would have been a good topic to bring up.
Yeah, I guess you're just so malnourished at this point in the game that you're not even thinking about that stuff. And it's like, I know it's shocking to all of us watching at home, but that's my only explanation, is that people are so paranoid in the moment and they're so fixated on other things. And I think that's the biggest danger of Survivor, right, is that you get in so in your head about your own plans that you lose awareness about what's going on around you. And I mean, obviously, that's what's happening to Ben, right, is that he's getting so in his own head that he's kind of like losing awareness of how people are responding to him.
Okay. All right. Steven, let's take another question. This
All
is
right,
from
Will Buxton.
Will
wants to know, did Dr. Mike dig his own grave tonight?
Well, can he bounce back from this? Let's talk about that.
Well, theoretically, yeah, right. I mean, if he can last another week or 2 weeks, then he still could be in that same good great position of leverage. But losing the idol for really no gain. Well, yeah, not great. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that this is going to be tough because I really was looking at him as like a real dark horse candidate that could have been somebody who just sneaks into the final three. I think he's going to really have his work cut out for him now because he was somebody who I thought seemed well liked by everybody in the group, was really making those inroads as somebody like that they could look at him and say like, oh, he's an extra vote. He's somebody that we could get on our side.
Right.
But now he's sort of like coming off as like another loose cannon wild card, and he's sort of like the poor man's wild card loose cannon compared to Joe, who's the ultimate wild card loose cannon. I don't know where he stands now.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, and
I love that he had an idol that nobody knew about.
Yeah, and you know, he and Lauren obviously they have a good relationship, and I bet that's why she said that to him, right? She wasn't threatening him; she was warning him, like, you know, Mike, shut up and chill out. Like, you know, you're not done here yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is a question from Chris, who says, "Is Devin in a Sarah-esque position? A lot of people want him to be their number one, and no one seems to be comparing notes on that." Steven, I know you're so high on Devin. Do you think that he is playing a Officer Sarah-esque game?
Well, I don't think he's doing the whole like flipping back and forth thing that we saw Sarah do. It sure does seem, though, that he is right now. Everyone likes him, right? We saw Ben approach him. You know, we certainly saw Ryan approach him. Last week, we heard Joe say that he really wants to be with Devin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of love.
Well, I feel like that the difference between Devin and Officer Sarah is that, and we heard this, you know, from different players coming out of the game. It came up in my interview with Andrea from a couple of weeks ago, that Sarah would talk a lot to people about how, like, just like reassuring, like, hey, you know, we have a tight bond. You know, it's a like, let's, you know, make this promise to each other that you and I, but she was doing that with a lot of different people, where it feels like almost with Devin, people are coming to Devin and confiding in him. He's not being the person who is like striking up like, hey, Ben, you and me, final two. Hey, Ryan, you and me, final two. Hey, Ashley, we got this, me and you. It's almost like that he is being the person that other people are coming to, which is a better position to be in when it comes to, I think, in the finals. I think that he will not have people be bitter with him because it's not like he is breaking his word to people.
Yeah. You know, that could go both ways, right? Where people like, you know, people feel still betrayed by him because they feel like they did have a real special bond. Whereas with someone like Sarah, you can say, well, she was gaming me. She's such a smart player. She really worked me over. Maybe they could feel, you could see someone also feeling more betrayed by Devin as well. Although I tend to agree with you. I'm just presenting the counter argument.
Okay. All right, Steven. Princess Carolyn How much did Jeff Probst, how much did Josh Wiggler pay Jeff Probst to say wiggle room? He says it a lot now. It's like, it's at the point where it could be a puzzle at this point.
I bet there will be a wiggle room puzzle. I mean, you know, the games afoot challenge became, was just based on a Tarzan quote, not, you know, a Tarzan, the player, not the, you know, the character mm-hmm. from the comics or the novels.
He said the last couple of seasons.
Yeah. So I bet at some point it does become a challenge. That'd be great. That'd be great. And John Kirchhoffer, if you're listening, you know, wiggle room, great idea. And yeah. a great podcast.
Yeah. What a Monday it'll be in the wiggle room when there's a wiggle room puzzle. Okay.
You know, the know-it-alls is all could also be a challenge.
And it just doesn't really say that.
Trivia challenge?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. All right. What about Jeff?
Jeff Patterson wants to know, how effective was Joe's argument about Ashley being a goat at this stage of the game? Isn't she last as far as power rankings go, even though Mike and Joe are on the alliance bottom?
Well, I don't think that Joe might even believe that, but he knew with Ashley that he had a live one on the hook, and he knew, okay, this is the code to really set her off. Make, you know, this argument of like, you're not even playing, you're going to be the easiest person to beat. It set her off. It got her to the point where she was really worked up. Again, he must be super confident in what he's doing, because I don't know why it didn't work. Like, I don't know how he knew that Ben would be the person, especially after what he was saying last week with Ben is swearing on the Marines, how he knew that Ben was going to be his advocate of, you know, getting everybody to keep Joe in the game.
Well, I think at this point, it's sort of like a Hail Mary position, right? Where he knows that they want him out. He knows that everyone knows he's a threat. He's on the bottom of the alliance. So why not do this thing where you're just really pushing everyone's buttons and hopes that it works? And it's kind of genius. And he has this unerring ability to just like nail what people hate, you know, like he says to Ben about the Marines thing, which is just like he's got this like this, you know, deadlock on what's going to most piss off Ben. And then to Ashley, you know, he talks about how people think she's incompetent, you know, therefore she's a goat. With Chrissy, he says, I don't have to listen to you, you know, which mm-hmm. we know that Chrissy is a little bit, she likes to be listened to. So he really seems to have this way of just nailing how to most infuriate the people around him.
It's a gift.
And it is a gift. And I think that, you know, why not for him, right? It's like not like he's going to win his way into being everyone's best friend. So I think for him to like choose this completely unique strategy, I really think it's so fun to watch this idea that, you know, because it does take that sort of like meta game of Survivor to a different level.
And,
you know, yeah.
Is that why he's so good at Twitter feuds?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess he just knows the right, you know, the right thing to say.
Hey, better not piss off LeVar Ball. That could get really heated. Joe Mena. Fiona says, "What was it such a break in trust for Ryan to tell another person about his idol? It's his information to use." Yeah, I mean, it was his idol. Is that a good point? Or just that Ryan told Devin, "I'm only telling you about this." And then Devin heard that he told another person about this.
Yeah, and I think that's what it is. I think it was probably an innocent misunderstanding, and I think this is probably where. And if you know, if you watch that scene between Ryan and Devin, it's Devin who's saying nobody can know about this, nobody can know about this, and Ryan's like, yeah, nobody can know this, whatever. I think this is probably an innocent misunderstanding that Devin is reading too much into, but. That's part of what drives Survivor, right? Is someone feeling betrayed. Someone having a very specific reason to feel betrayed, and then someone never being able to trust that person again.
Okay. How you doing? You can take another question.
Let's do one more.
Okay. One more with Steven. Christian says, what should Ryan say if Devin confronts him about telling Ben about the idol, Steven? Okay. Let's do some role play here. Okay. Are you Ryan?
Yeah. Okay.
Are you going to be sure. Ryan or Devin?
I'll be Ryan.
Okay. All right.
I feel like Devin is a better impersonation for you to do. You know, it seems like there's more to do here.
Yeah. Sup, brah?
Yeah.
Idol? What?
It was in my pants. Tell him. It was in my pants.
He saw. It was in my pants.
It was in my pants.
Yeah.
I you know, I didn't, you know, I'm working for the two of us. I just want you and me to be at the end together. And I saw a path to build a relationship with Ben where I felt like if I showed him this, it could help our game. So this is really all about you and me getting to the end together. Yeah. And I'm just gonna
This is a bridge that can't be mended.
Yeah.
You'd mend the fence. You don't mend the bridge. That's a big construction job.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Check out Stephen Fishback's blog every week at Stephen Fishback is a wonderful people.com blog where he could read all about his Devin theories. Of course, we've got a lot more coming up. Exit interview this week. Just a heads up because of the Thanksgiving holiday is going to be on Monday this week. Of course, next Wednesday night will be a 2-hour Survivor episode. So the know-it-alls will be coming to you at 10:15 p.m. Eastern time. So look for us after a 2-hour episode. Then, of course, 2 weeks from tonight is our show in Austin. For ticket information, go to robiswebsite.com/AustinKIA. Tyson coming up. That podcast I'm going to record with him on Friday. And then over the weekend, I'm going to talk with Sophie Clark. You can get voicemails in for either show. I think that I'm going to treat both shows a little bit more like a recap. I don't know how many voicemails we'll get over the holiday weekend. So we'll definitely catch up with both of those winners. And then also any voicemails that you guys have, send them in to the show as well. Stephen Fishback, any other thoughts before you got to run?
#MenaGame.
And then, of course, everything you need to know for holiday shopping, go to robhasawebsite.com/gifts. Canvas People, Amazon, Omaha Steaks, the shirts, it's all on that page. robhasawebsite.com/gifts. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.